and welcome, loves. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN on a very tragic Thursday in Buffalo. A Buffalo Sewer Authority truck was shot up on the 190. One dead, two injured. And I do have some additional information. And again, this is unconfirmed information by official sources, but it does come to me by way of people who have proven to be reliable sources in the past, and I will share it with you with that caveat. First of all, the white sedan that was allegedly used in the shooting is apparently a stolen car out of Buffalo, New York. That's number one. Number two, the vehicle apparently had Rhode Island plates, stolen Rhode Island plates on it. So that is information that would come to me. Also, the NITEC cameras do not record. They don't record. That's a real-time situation. But the information that I'm getting from people who ordinarily would be considered to be very, very reliable sources is that the sedan from which the shots came, which targeted the Buffalo Sewer Authority truck, were from a vehicle that was stolen out of Buffalo and had switched plates from the state of Rhode Island, which obviously is going to make tracking down the suspects more and more difficult. And this is where CI's confidential informants are going to be very, very vital, I think, in cracking this case. There may be another aspect to this situation, which I do not feel comfortable sharing with you right now until I get additional information. But apparently, what I'm hearing from a number of people is that the Sewer Authority truck that was shot up had just finished a job and was on the 190 when the shots were fired at it. The other information that I have, and again, this is unofficial, but it does come to me by way of sources who have proven reliable in the past, is that the shells that have been found at the scene, the casings, if you will, were from a handgun and not an AR platform. So the idea that, frankly, I'm relieved in a way that the maniac from Maine did not make his way to Western New York and is going to start a shooting rampage up and down the thruways, as we saw. And I know David Bellavia had mentioned this with the Washington, D.C. sniper situation many years ago. And if you don't know that particular story or you don't remember it, you can certainly look it up online. This apparently, I feel comfortable in saying this based on the information that I have from people I would consider to be reliable sources, is that this was a targeted shooting. This was not random, according to my sources. This was not random. This was a targeted situation. Is that correct information? I can only give you what I am told by people who have proven to be reliable in the past. The other thing that I think it is very important to mention is that this is a crime scene. The Erie County Medical Examiner people have removed the body of the dead Sewer Authority worker from the vehicle, and that just happened at around 3 o'clock this afternoon. The shooting took place at 11:20 this morning. And that gives you some indication of the meticulous nature of crime scene investigation. They basically took over 3 hours simply to move the body to the morgue, where it will be obviously undergoing an autopsy, and any slugs will be recovered from the body and placed into evidence. And again, what I have for you, and again, this is unofficial but comes to me from people I would consider to be reliable sources, is that the vehicle from which the car from which these shots were fired was a stolen car out of Buffalo, and it had Rhode Island license plates on it, and they were stolen Rhode Island license plates. So that is what I have so far for you, according to the best of my knowledge and belief, and according to the best knowledge and belief of my sources. Mayor Byron Brown is going to be part of that news conference. We do have confirmation now that the 190 is back open. The 190 is back open. That, again, comes to me from a very reliable source. Actually, several reliable sources have told me the 190 has been reopened, which, frankly, is a little bit surprising to me, because given the many questions surrounding this particular tragedy that has befallen Buffalo this day, I thought it was going to be a longer investigation at the scene. But they wrapped it up in about 4 hours, which is pretty remarkable, and shows a very high degree of proficiency. So this should not be a factor for people who want to use the 190 to access the stadium for the Buffalo Bills game, which was, frankly, a minor concern compared to the loss of human life, but a major concern it was for me if we were going to see a spillover of traffic onto roads that were not quite able to keep up with the increased influx of traffic. But that is not going to be a factor. The 190 has been reopened. That has been confirmed by multiple sources to me. And in terms of the traffic for the game, that is a relief. But again, my thoughts are certainly with the people at the Buffalo Sewer Authority, where there is a great deal of sadness and anger and consternation over what happened to one of their own. It's bad enough when someone with whom you work dies in an accident, but to think that this was an intentional and possibly targeted shooting adds to the anger level, I'm sure, of those at the Buffalo Sewer Authority and within the city of Buffalo. Joining us right now, we have former Buffalo police captain and owner of Vista Security, Jeff Rinaldo. Jeff, thanks very much for joining us. Really appreciate your time on WBEN. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tom.
Jeff, the information, I don't know how much of the information I have imparted you've actually had a chance to hear, but are you still in a position to have access to the kind of information that I just passed along about stolen car out of Buffalo and switched Rhode Island plates?
Yes, I've heard similar information regarding this incident, which, makes obviously attempting to locate the suspects in this case difficult.
As far as the shooting itself, the information I have, without going into too many specifics, is that there is reason to believe that this was a targeted shooting. This was not a random act. This was targeted at somebody in that truck. Do you have information that confirms that?
I do not have information at this time that confirms that, but chances are the fact that all three occupants of that vehicle were struck tells me that this was not a random drive-by, one shot or two shots fired. It would lead itself to have people believe that this was targeted in nature, and the fact that the amount of injuries that were sustained in this case.
And the other information that is kind of ancillary to that is this was not an attack on the Buffalo Sewer Authority as Buffalo Sewer Authority workers, but was somebody else or was some other motive, which I'll leave to the professionals to get into when that is confirmed. Jeff, can you talk about the kind of investigation, first of all, that has taken place so far with, for example, the crime scene? They were able to get the investigation done in a mysterious case in 4 hours at the scene itself. Is that normal?
Well, the scene itself there is really going to be contained within the vehicle itself. So undoubtedly what would have occurred is that that vehicle would have been placed on a flatbed and would have been towed to a secure police impound lot, where then their crime scene unit can really go through and process that scene appropriately. As far as on the throughway, I'm sure a search was done for any type of physical evidence, whether it's shell casings, skid marks, or any other type of physical evidence that might have been readily visible surrounding that vehicle. But as far as processing the vehicle, that is something that will probably be done at another location.
And what can be learned from the dispersal pattern of the shell casings that were marked and photographed by law enforcement?
Well, from that, they'll attempt to determine exactly where the shooter's vehicle was at the time that the shots were fired in relation to where that vehicle came to arrest. So it'll help provide some information of where this incident might have begun, as well as give them information in terms of where they need to start looking or canvassing for any type of surveillance video that might be out there.
And the NITEC cameras, I'm told, do not record video. There will not be an official NITEC video of this particular tragedy.
My understanding is that they do not record, simply because they are just cameras that are used as spot cameras, meaning to take a look at that particular point to see what traffic conditions are for the public. That may have changed in recent years. But my experience was that those cameras were not recorded previously. So that will lead to a call for any type of public video that might be out there. You know, there's a large proliferation of dash cams now that people are buying at local stores and installing in their own vehicles, as well as people that might be driving for Uber or Lyft. So chances are there may be some dash cam video, if not of the incident, at least of that particular vehicle and possibly the suspect's video out there.
I mean, hopefully, I mean, if we're talking, and apparently we are, about a stolen car out of Buffalo with switched Rhode Island plates that have been put on that car, one can hope that somebody somewhere has reliable video of the suspects who were inside. And it would seem to me, Jeff, that any business or residents in the area of any of the entrance ramps to the 190 might be as helpful as dash cam video, possibly more helpful.
Absolutely. It's going to really matter when that vehicle was reported stolen. If the reported theft was within 12 hours of this event, then you likely have a good chance of figuring out a possible route or where that vehicle might have traversed prior to this shooting. If the vehicle was reported stolen days or even longer before, then that information becomes less valuable, as the amount of time in between is too great.
Because that vehicle might have changed hands several times.
Correct.
Or, I mean, this is going to sound really, I don't know if this makes any sense at all, but I'm asking myself, was the vehicle stolen and the plate switched because they knew that a targeted shooting was going to take place and they wanted to minimize the opportunity or the chances of being caught?
That's always a possibility. We have seen, obviously, not only here in the city of Buffalo, but around the country, where these stolen vehicles are being stolen and intentionally utilized in crimes, everything from robberies to shootings and homicides. So the fact that the vehicle would have had switch plates on it tells me that the person that stole it potentially wanted to try to ensure that it wouldn't have been recovered too quickly.
What guess can we make, or what can we infer from the chance that there were at least 9 or 10 rounds fired at this particular Buffalo Sewer Authority vehicle?
Well, that tells you that the person was intent on delivering damage. It was not one round fired so as to scare them off or to try to make a point. It tells me that the person that was firing that weapon intended to cause serious physical injury or death to the occupants of that targeted vehicle.
Because the shell casings were ejected onto the roadway, can we also infer that there were at least two people involved, a driver and a shooter in the passenger side?
You know, I think it would be tough to draw that conclusion at this point because, again, depending on the type of vehicle that the shooter was driving, as well as the manner in which he was firing those rounds, how those casings got ejected really could be a number of different ways.
I mean, I'm just thinking to myself, if you're shooting from the driver's position, chances are the shell casings would have been ejected into the back seat. If your arm is out the passenger window, they're going to end up on the roadway, which is where they were found. Is there any validity in that thinking?
There is, but, you know, potentially the shell casings could have bounced off the passenger seat headrest and been ejected from the vehicle that way. So really the fact that they were outside the vehicle is important, but it's tough to draw conclusions at this point in terms of, you know, exactly where within the shooter's vehicle the person would have been located firing that weapon.
Given the fact, and again, this is what we believe we know so far, and this comes to me from reliable sources, the white sedan that was used in the shooting was stolen out of Buffalo and was carrying or had on it stolen Rhode Island license plates. What investigative tools other than video do law enforcement people have? Confidential informants?
Well, you have informants. You're going to have the owner of the vehicle as well as the owner of those license plates, and you're going to have potential evidence that was collected at the scene of where those two incidents occurred. Again, number one, where the plates were stolen from, was there video surveillance in the area of where that vehicle was when those plates were taken, as well as any type of physical evidence or video that could have been recovered from the scene where the vehicle was stolen. So with those two things put together, chances are they're going to be able to develop some type of suspect information relatively quickly. And again, depending on the nature of the crime, especially if this was a targeted event, more than likely somebody or multiple people out there kind of know what happened by now. And eventually, confidential informants and the public, as we've seen over the years, especially in working with Buffalo Police Department, the public comes forward and they start giving information. So I would suspect that they are developing suspect descriptions and information as we speak.
Jeff, I'd like to keep you on if we may. You've always been good to us in the past, and obviously you have information on investigative techniques that that most people don't have, and I'd like to keep you if we might.
Sure.
Jeff Rinaldo, former City of Buffalo police captain, owner of Vista Security, is with us on News Radio 930 WBEN. And again, folks, if you have any information, if you live near an entrance to the thruway, you might consider calling the New York State Police T-Troop, Thruway Troop, and sharing your surveillance video with them, because that might very well be a key in at least identifying some suspect faces, unless they were wearing masks, which, of course, seems to be the way people perpetrate crimes these days when they suspect that surveillance cameras may be in operation. We'll continue with Captain Jeff Rinaldo, retired, on News Radio 930 WBEN. All right, it is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN, a day of tragedy in Buffalo because a Buffalo Sewer Authority pickup truck was shot at about 20 minutes after 11 on the 190, and one person inside was killed, two others inside were wounded, and the information, this is not officially confirmed, but it does come to me from people who ordinarily would be considered to be excellent sources, is that the rounds were from a handgun, number one. Number two, that this was a targeted shooting. Number three, the white sedan, which is the suspect vehicle, was stolen out of Buffalo. I do not know when. And number four, the car had on it license plates, which were stolen from the state of Rhode Island. So it's not a question of somebody having recorded the license plates and having a and just having an easy trace of license plates. The mayor is going to be posting a statement to social media at about 3:45. We will have a state police and officialdom news conference coming up at 4 o'clock today. Our Brayton Wilson is on the scene and will update us on that on News Radio 930 WBEN. Within the past hour or so, Mayor Brown did visit the headquarters of the Buffalo Sewer Authority, and this is, again, a four-door pickup, and we're on the line right now on News Radio 930 WBEN with Jeff Rinaldo, former Buffalo police captain, retired and now the president of Vista Security. Jeff, as I look at the photographs of the impact of the rounds, there are some in the driver's side door, but most of them seem to be focused on whomever was seated behind the driver in the back seat. Can we infer anything from where those rounds landed?
Well, it's really going to depend, Tom, on where the vehicles were in proximity to each other at the time that those shots were fired. So, obviously, if a gun is being fired at you and you're driving this victim's vehicle, you're either going to probably speed up or attempt to slow down to get away. So that could have an impact on exactly where those rounds fell on the victim's vehicle.
In a situation like this, Jeff, and I'm sure that you have investigated many roadway shootings in the course of your illustrious career on the Buffalo Police Department, how easy or how difficult is it to track down a roadway shooter?
Well, again, it depends on the motivation behind it. Sometimes if it truly was road rage, once some time elapses, then you will see where sometimes the shooter will contact an attorney, and obviously the attorney's advice is to turn themselves in and try to get in front of this and make some type of case for justification. But in cases like this, where this, for all intents and purposes, could be related to a drive-by situation, again, it really comes down to police doing good old-fashioned detective work and the public keeping their eyes and ears opening and reporting things that, as I said many times as a spokesman for the police department, the least little detail is what generally closes a case for the police. So something that might seem insignificant but was enough to make you take a second look at it, or something that made you go, that was out of place, it is usually those little details that help put that puzzle together.
Well, I mean, back in the 1970s, as you are well aware, the Son of Sam case in New York City was solved, at least partially, because of a parking ticket that had been issued. So it is the small things that can be the key to unlocking the secrets of a mystery and furthering an investigation. Something else I want to ask you about, in an investigation like this, where a shooting appears to have been targeted at a specific vehicle or people inside that vehicle, what kind of work, without casting any aspersions whatsoever, what kind of work is going to be done on the background of those inside that truck? How important is that?
Well, it's extremely important. You know, in any case where you have a living witness who is also a victim, they are going to be your best source of information as to what happened. And depending on what their background is, whether or not they have a criminal history, maybe have charges pending, it's really going to determine the level of cooperation that they're willing to give to the police. We've seen cases where we've had victims that would not cooperate and or would request an attorney, making the investigation extremely difficult. So, you know, those are all speculations at this point, but yes, the police will be looking at the background of everybody in that vehicle, and they will be looking to see what, if any, prior criminal history or police contact they may or may not have had, so that they can start to verify information that's being provided to them from not only the victims themselves, but as well as the witnesses.
You know, just thinking about what appears to be the targeted nature of this and the number of rounds fired, Is there any possibility that in some way, and again, I cast no aspersions, I'm simply asking a question, is there a possibility that this might in some way fit the profile of a gang-related shooting?
I think at this point, Tommy, would just be drawing straws to come up with that. Again, as I said before, usually, or there's in some instances in a road rage, you see where one or two shots are fired. Again, for whatever reason, the information's out there that this is targeted. I would be willing to presume that that's based on information that they've probably gathered from the victims themselves, who may or may not know, or may at least have some information that's pointing investigators in that direction. But again, whether or not the people involved in this are gang affiliated, it's probably too early to make that conclusion.
We're talking with Jeff Rinaldo, former Buffalo police captain and president of Vista Security, on News Radio 930 WBEN. In a case such as this, where the shooters are unapprehended, where one person in the Buffalo Sewer Authority truck was killed and two injured, is it standard operating procedure to have armed police at ECMC or whatever hospital the victims were transported?
Yes, anytime there's a shooting incident, the hospital that receives those patients, and ECMC, beyond a doubt, works miracles in our community, and we're very fortunate to have the talent that that hospital has in our community. But anytime that there is a shooting, you do see the hospital raise its level of security. You do see where there's a heavier presence from their police department inside of the ER. And you will also see a large contingency of police in terms of the state police and investigators and things of that nature in and around that hospital conducting their investigation.
Now, this happened on the New York State Thruway, the 190, which is the within the jurisdiction of the New York State Police. How do the Buffalo Police, the Erie County Sheriffs, the DOT, and the Buffalo Police, how well do they work together in a case like this to try to put the pieces together and solve it?
They work literally hand in hand, everything from sharing office space to working out of one another's offices. There's thankfully in our area, in our community, there are no jurisdictional fiefdoms. Everybody comes together. They share resources. And I presume one of the biggest resources right now that they're probably using is the Erie County Crime Analysis Center, which is located in the Buffalo Police Headquarters.
Yeah, my understanding is that at the scene, it was mostly state police with some Buffalo police vehicles, DOT vehicles, but no vehicles spotted by my people with the Erie County Sheriff's Department.
Yeah, the New York State Police have primary jurisdiction on the 190, but in terms of like car accidents, things of that nature, again, on the 190, it is the state police, but on the 33 and the 198, it is Buffalo. So there are jurisdictional requirements in terms of who handles what. But again, since they have primary jurisdiction, they would be the lead in this investigation.
Under what circumstances would the FBI or ATF be called in?
Well, those agencies are always standing ready to assist local law enforcement in investigations. So the Homicide Squad of Buffalo, as well as any investigative unit of any state or local police department, are well aware of the resources that those agencies have and are also well aware of the people that they can reach out to for help when they need it.
In that this happened on what is actually one of the interstates, does that automatically mean the FBI would come in?
It does not.
Hello? I'm sorry, Jeff. We had you cut out there for a minute.
I lost you. I'm sorry, Tom. Are you there?
Sorry, but yes, I am. The question is, I mean, does this automatically, the location, does this automatically mean the FBI would be called in to assist or help to coordinate the investigation?
Not necessarily. I'm sure at some point there'll be a conversation
regarding the crime, and you'll see where the state police might liaison with the FBI on it. But again, it's a homicide at this point, and generally that stays with the local law enforcement agency.
Stay with us. It is 3:50 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Jeff Rinaldo is with us, a retired captain with the Buffalo Police Department, currently the president of Vista Security. We have more with Jeff coming up. We have a state police news conference coming up at 4 o'clock. The mayor has posted a statement. The home of the dome, which is the dome atop Buffalo's Art Deco Historic City Hall, will light up in white tonight, October 26, 2023. And the statement says, Buffalo shows its solidarity with the three Buffalo sewer workers who were shot while on duty earlier today. One of them died from his injuries. Thank you for keeping them and their loved ones in your prayers tonight. That is the statement we have from the mayor's office. That is some information that we had from the mayor's office, and an additional statement here from Mayor Brown. I am heartbroken to share today that three of our hardworking Buffalo Sewer Authority employees were shot while on the job. One of the gunshot victims sadly died from his injuries. The other two are being treated at the Erie County Medical Center. I will provide additional updates as we learn more about what happened. Thank you for keeping these workers and their families in your thoughts and prayers. Jeff Rinaldo is with us, former Buffalo Police Captain and head of Vista Security. In a situation like this, Jeff, what can be learned from the surviving victims?
Well, again, in any criminal investigation, if you have a living victim, a living witness, they are going to be able to provide you with the greatest knowledge possible about what happened, what led up to the incident, and what happened shortly thereafter. But I think what's also going to be very important is any drivers this morning that were in proximity of either one of these vehicles when this incident occurred, if they have not done so already, they really need to reach out to the New York State Police and be prepared to give a statement in that case, because again, it's going to be extremely important for investigators to attempt to determine what happened. Is this a random act, or was this where this some type of car chase was ensuing and was weaving in and out of traffic prior to the event? So it really will be important if anybody observed those vehicles acting erratically prior to this incident that they call the police and offer their statements.
Spoke earlier about the importance of crime scene analysis, because police officers, crime scene people, they've only got one chance to get it right. And at this point, as you pointed out, the crime scene itself will be the Buffalo Sewer Authority truck. What kind of leads or information would be developed from the truck as a crime scene?
Well, there's a lot of information. I mean, number one, it's going to determine whether or not there's any contraband that could have been found inside of that vehicle. As far as the bullets themselves that can be recovered, it's going to determine the type of gun, the caliber of the weapon used, the shell casings themselves. We've seen where DNA can be recovered off of those shell casings. So there really can be a wealth of information that can be ascertained from the proper processing of crime scenes.
Jeff Rinaldo, I want to thank you very much for taking time from your busy schedule and joining us with your expertise. And don't be surprised if we don't call you a little bit later on.
Thank you, Tom. Have a good day.
Captain Jeff Rinaldo, retired Buffalo Police Department and head of Vista Security.